Hello and welcome to Happy Horror Time Podcast. I'm Tim Murdoch, and not to be mistaken from Murdoch from the A-Team.
Wow, you just jumped over my line.
I sure did.
Hi, and I'm Matt Emmer, not to be mistaken with there are no Emmerts out there to ever be mistaken
not
for,
even
right?
On the A-Team?
No, Murdoch is like a popular last name. Emmert, you know what's funny, Tim? I once looked up Matt Emmert on Facebook and found like three or four of them. This is like 10, 15 years ago. And I like wrote a few of them.
No, I did.
This is when I must have had too much time on my hands.
You must have been a slow week.
I think I just said, hey, I'm Matt Emmert and you're Matt Emmert. Let's be friends or something. I think.
Do you hang out often?
I have a feeling none of them wrote back. They're probably like, weirdo.
I know that I befriended a guy once just because his name was Lucky Murdoch, but he was also really cute.
But was he lucky, like Britney Spears lucky?
Yeah, free Britney. Hashtag free Britney.
Oh my God, did you know that she was speaking out?
Today was the day.
Yeah, she spoke out against her dad, right?
Conservatorship,
yeah, where she doesn't want her dad controlling her money.
Well, I mean, he kept trying to make her work in Vegas, and she's like, listen...
I'm still confused about how that whole thing worked. I watched the whole documentary, but I don't understand why an adult who is functioning needs someone to take care of like their estate. I get if it's like financial stuff, but I guess it was when she went through that mental breakdown and she needed help. But like, she's not crazy anymore, or is she?
Well, I think we're all a little crazy.
We all go a little mad sometimes. What's that from?
Oh, it's from Pacico.
So, Tim, how have you been lately? Before we jump into our movies, let's do our, annoying small chat. Small talk.
The world, I'm not going to say the P word.
Oh, you mean Planned Parenthood?
Planned Parenthood. I'm not going to talk about it. No, pandemic.
Well, things are starting to open up.
I know.
Tim and I actually went to our first... bar
ever
this week this past weekend with some friends. There were people packed in a bar, no masks. It was nuts.
I had five drinks and I lost my voice, and if you want to hear on our Patreon, I have no voice.
Yes, please. If you'd like to hear Tim with no voice, with a very masculine sounding voice, then sign up to be a patron for Happy Horror Time.
Yeah, that was a good plug, Matt.
You like that? But yeah. No, it was. That was our last bonus episode. But we had a great time, but it was a little jarring at first, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
we ran into some people we didn't want to see.
We definitely ran into people we hadn't seen in a while, but like, it was just weird. It felt almost too normal. Like, I felt safe because we've been vaccinated,
but it felt normal, but it also, there was a puzzle piece missing, at least for me. Granted, I had five drinks, but I felt like
you had a few puzzle pieces missing.
Yeah,
then.
Well, I really did. but I mean, like, there was just like, yes, it was familiar, but it was like, 15 months familiar. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was weird.
But it's almost like one of those things where as soon as you, like, after a few minutes passed, you get, like, your mind takes you back to when that was normal. So, like, I went back to 2019 and it just felt normal again. It wasn't until, like, now reflecting on it that I'm like, wow, considering for the last year and a half, barely seen anyone and been close without a mask, and then suddenly being in a bar with a bunch of people, it's weird.
We were practically on top of each other.
Yeah. Speaking of being on top of each other, Tim.
What?
What's new with you?
Well, let's just say my 15 months of...
dry spell?
...is over.
Oh, my God. Well, without naming names... tell us who the lucky guy is.
No.
That's
the whole story.
I am glad to hear your dry spell is over.
Thank you. Because, this podcast is not about that.
You know, that's really funny because I had a very similar week. Jacob and I bought bedding for our guest room.
Wow, that's back to practically the same.
I mean, it's just the same as a crazy hookup, I'd say. Well, talk about domesticated life. You know, speaking of domestic...
It's two different lives.
Well, speaking of domesticated life, because if you've been listening to the podcast, my boyfriend and I moved to a house in the Valley 2 months ago, but, to even push the domesticated part, our neighbors have been bringing over fresh vegetables from their garden.
That's like, so nice.
It's the sweetest thing ever, but it feels so domesticated. Like, literally, they knock on the door and like, oh, we've got some tomatoes and
you're
cucumbers.
You're living Desperate Housewives.
I mean, I swear, I feel like the next thing I'm going to have to ask them for a cup of sugar. Like, it really feels like that. It's so eerie.
Growing up, we actually did do stuff like that. Like, oh my gosh, we just need like a little bit of milk to make these cookies.
That's
like
so funny.
We did that kind of stuff constantly in Ohio.
I feel like there's so many markets around that unless it was like Thanksgiving and I like desperately needed it quickly, I would just go to the market. Like, who's going to go and be like, hey, can I borrow your stuff?
It was a different time. Like, we didn't live in a time of Ubers and, you know, like Instacart.
Well, these neighbors, they're like a retired couple and they're really nice. And they just, yeah, they have this garden that they were growing tomatoes.
Do they know about you and Jacob, not just being roommates?
They know we're gay. Like, I mean, I first off, when I introduced him, I said, this is my boyfriend.
So you're a bragger.
Yeah, no. And secondly, well, because I'm not going to say this is my friend. It's not 1980.
I will. No, anytime no, I have a relationship, I say, this is my
friend.
My friend.
No, it's just really, they're really sweet. We're lucky. We're in a good neighborhood, but it just is so domesticated. But we have a second bedroom and we're like, hey, we actually have to get a bed so we can have people that can stay over. And we went and got bedding. So as you were having your hot and steamy hookup,
right,
we were going to Bed Bath & Beyond.
Oof, you know what? Hearing
would
about
you switch,
that,
Tim?
No. I actually don't know if I ever want to be in a relationship ever again.
Oh, my God.
That's how much fun it was.
That is depressing as
what?
Fuck. And
no,
with that,
listen, if some neighbor gives me fruits the next day, I'm like, thank God I'm not in a relationship.
You want to be a single bachelor for life?
Yeah, just like George Clooney.
Isn't George Clooney married to
Amal?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, anyway, okay, so Tim's dry spell is over, and I'm domesticated. And with that,
let's start talking about films.
So we watched two. So, you know, the last couple movie reviews we've done have been some, like, big theatrical release movies. And this week, there really wasn't anything big that came out in the theater, so we found
in
two movies. Well, I mean horror. No, not musicals. No, so we found two more like kind of indie horror movies that came out that we found looked appealing. And
I'm going to give you all the credit. You did the research. You found these two.
I did. I saw, you know, there's all sorts of newsletters that like talk about new horror movies that are coming out. And so many come out on demand that most people haven't heard about. I'm hoping actually this podcast can help people that are listening who love horror find out and get spoiled horror movies that maybe they didn't even know existed, because a lot of these don't have like trailers.
And you know what? I'm gonna go out and say something. Some of them shouldn't be seen.
You are right. And possibly some that we may be talking about today.
Yeah.
The first movie that we're gonna talk about is called Stalker. Now, if you're thinking, wait, haven't they done that before? You're right, because there's been like two other movies called Stalker. There was a TV series called Stalker, but this one,
I can't say that as far as originality goes, the title is so original.
It is definitely not. And after finding it on IMDb, I found out the original title was Blinders, which don't know why.
Stalker works better.
Stalker does work better. But the reason we were attracted to this, because Tim and I will always look at like the trailers and we'll see, A, does this look interesting? And B, is it something that would be fun to talk about? And this movie looked like something that most people either could relate to or it's like their biggest fear, because I guess, well, I'll do the setup for
okay,
it, right?
Yes. You
so
go for it.
There's a guy.
His name is Andy.
Yes, he moves from Texas to L.A. You found out he just went through a big breakup, and he moves to L.A., and he meets a girl named Sam in L.A., and they go out. Yeah, it's just kind of flirty stuff. And then she calls an Uber-ish, or it's called Ride.
Rider.
Yeah,
Rider?
Of course. Rider, something like that. It's like the fake Uber because they can't use it in movies. And the driver picks them up, drops them off, and then like,
he goes,
know,
you two kids have fun.
Yeah. Now, the driver, right from the beginning, I've got to say, great casting call, because he looks creepy as fuck.
Yeah, I thought he was crazy from the get-go, so I actually think that's some really good acting.
And great casting, because he just looks the part. But what I was, so the rider driver is named Roger. So he is the creepy
Perkins
guy. So,
Roger Perkins.
So this is the thing I have to say. Is everybody, are you familiar with that meme that's like a creepy guy watching from like behind a tree? I use it all the time, like at work when we're sending like creepy stalker stuff to each other just to make fun. Like, this guy reminds me of the meme Stalker. That's why I think it was genius casting. But anyway,
Andy, yeah, when he sits down with Sam at the bar, he's just trying to make a new life, and she asks him some random questions, and they really click. But here's the thing. Andy is, you know, he's the focus of the film, and, like, he's supposed to, I'm assuming Andy's supposed to be every man, like Joe Schmo.
Yeah, like starting a new life, you know, go to a new city, just supposed to be like regular guy. He's working in tutoring.
Yes, but he said like he travels to people's homes and tutors rich kids.
But after Roger drops them off, like he kind of like waits and watches, and it's a little weird. And then the next day, he just happens to show up where Andy goes like to get coffee, and it looks a little too planned, you know? Yeah. Like he happens to get a conversation with him, and then Andy's like, I think you were my ride driver. He's like, oh, really? Like,
yeah, and you're like, okay. He's got an adorable dog, and he like pets his dog, and then he's like, oh my God, we should have a beer sometime.
Yeah, and you think that, you know, it is innocent enough, like, and that's the thing, like, guys can reach out to be friends with other guys, doesn't mean they're interested, it doesn't mean anything, but there's just something a little off about
but
Roger.
But if two gay guys do it, what happens?
They fuck.
No. Oh my God, you're gross.
No. If two gay guys, there's always an ulterior motive. One of them's interested or what? No, that's not true. Actually, gay men can be just friends. Hilarious. Gay men can just be friends. Anyway, but so Roger's like, yeah, let's grab a beer. And like at first, Andy's like, yeah. And he takes him up on the offer, right? They do go out one time.
And like, I mean, here's the thing. As never being remotely a heterosexual man, I just
never.
I love that the one connection for straight men is beer.
I feel like it's beer, sports, and girls.
Right. Like it's instantly bonds you.
Well, and trust me, first off, I have a lot of close straight male friends. And
hate beer and I hate sports.
Well, but here's the thing. Some of my best friend who's a straight male hates beer and hates sports, but has nothing to do with sexuality. But I will say, of being around straight men my entire life, I do notice that like the easiest go-to is like, so did you see that whatever game?
Oh, it's, yeah. Fill in the blank.
It's almost like what the weather is for every other conversation. It's like, God, it's been hot lately.
It makes me really happy I'm not heterosexual.
Well, but what do gay people bond over? Hey, did you hear about Britney Spears talking about the conservatorship?
Well, you know, yeah. <You're>
exactly. Anyway, so Andy goes out with Roger and they like have a beer and it just seems a little weird because I think at the end, if I remember this right, Roger wants to hang out like the next day again.
He like text messages him.
He is messaging him. I am
100% sober.
Oh, I buy it. No, but the funny thing is this whole time Andy is like dating this girl, Sam, and he's kind of telling her, oh, you know, remember our ride driver? He's, you know, we kind of became friends, but he's coming on a little strong. And she's like, that's weird.
Oh, and then they go hiking.
Yes, you're
this
right.
This is good. And then like he calls, but he goes, oh, I'm not really feeling like going out right now.
Well, yeah, Roger calls Andy to see if he wants to go out, and Andy makes an excuse and says, oh, I'm just going to stay at home. Roger is in the bushes watching him hiking with the girl, meaning he's seeing him lie to him.
But you know, this is the only time that Sam, his girlfriend, like he kind of lets Sam in on what's going on, because as the movie progresses, a lot more crazy-ass things happen, and like, he doesn't fill Sam in.
Well, that's the thing. What happens is, what I love about this movie, it like turns on like a light, like a dime. Like as soon as Roger sees Andy like lie to him that he's going with the girl, like he just goes nuts. Well, he starts texting him, being really like overly like passive aggressive. Like, oh, you blow me off, da-da-da, and Andy just stops responding, and Roger gets really effing pissed.
I do that to people.
I do too. It's the best way to make friends. Oh, and have I told you how it really turns people on? And let me tell you, if you want to date someone, text them over. Text them over and over. If they don't text you back right away, say, why don't you love me? That always works.
I always say that too. I was like, I always say like after the first 20 minutes of sitting down with someone, I love you.
It's that works. And what are you doing today? What are you doing tomorrow? What are you doing the next day?
Oh, and then I say breakfast, lunch, dinner.
You're right. Never. If you want to appeal to someone, parade them with text messages.
Yes.
Anyway, so it gets to the point where Roger starts to become quite the psycho. Like, he basically finds out where Andy lives. He's able to sneak in pretending to be a cable guy and sets up cameras in his place.
Oh, God. Okay, so this is where the movie gets really dark, because then you find out that Andy still has feelings for his ex, and he looks at pictures of her, and he touches himself.
What does he do to him? He does
I'm
morning
not saying
text.
It.
I won't say jerks off. He is jerking off to a picture of his ex, and here's the best part. Not only does Roger get a video of this, he sends it to Andy's
in his email list.
Yes, and to his tutoring parents, like the parents of the people he tutors.
So he goes trotting off to his job, and he knocks on the door, and the mom's like, "You got a lot of nerve showing up here."
As she deserves like the supporting actress award because she turned on the attitude.
That was like all of a sudden like sitcom acting, and she's like, "Let me just show you."
I 100% agree.
I was like, I mean, it was. I don't know if we need a comic.
But here's the thing. If you, not that this is supposed to be real, but if I ever received a video like that from someone, like, I would know the person got hacked because no one is, well, I guess some people do send videos like that, but you've got to be already
talking. But
they're
getting paid for it, and it's called OnlyFans.
Yes, exactly. Or you're like on Grindr or a website. But like she, of course, is like, "You're sick," and you know, he's fired. But anyway, Andy quickly.
In addition to doing that, before that, he also sends him to another house for a new tutoring job. He disguises his voice to like this crack house, and he like
almost gets shot.
He almost gets shot. He almost gets beat up, but somehow he escapes the crack house, and then you see him parked down the street laughing so hard, like, that's hilarious.
And meaning, like, this guy Roger went from A to Z really quickly. It's like, oh, he blew me off. I better ruin his life. Well, Andy finally goes to the police. The police don't take him seriously. Like, this police department, like, doesn't give two shits. And they want to do is see the...
He has no evidence. He has nothing. They're like, well, what's his name? And does he work for Ride? And
he has the name.
Got nothing.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, I hate that because that's why so many people, like, so you know how long it took for women who were stalked by people, like, to finally, to have any laws against stalking? Like, stalking was legal, I feel like, up until, like, the 90s.
When did the stalking law come out?
They came into stalking laws, I think, I'm totally going to be wrong on this, but I would say sometime in the 90s because literally,
only been 30 years.
As long as you weren't literally hitting someone, you could just be on their property. I mean, it's just, it was awful. But anyway, police doesn't take him seriously. And then it gets to the point where Andy gets home and he can't find his dog. His dog is missing. And on his computer is a screen of Roger barking like a dog, making fun of him.
Right. Oh, and he also has access to his instant messaging, his mother.
Text or instant messaging. And he starts instant messaging people on Andy's contact list, like his mom. So he text messages Sam, the girlfriend, and tells him to meet her at this like factory or something. And Andy's like, oh my God, no. So he goes
to the factory
to try to warn her, and he gets knocked out by Roger.
So when he wakes up, he's in the factory and
tied
Sam's
up
there.
And Sam's tied up.
His girlfriend.
We have to talk about this real quick. So Tim and I were watching this together, and the first thing we realized is if you wake up tied up, you were knocked out, you are going to be terrified, right?
Yes.
Sam, the girl, has no reaction. Like, no reaction.
It got to the point where I was like, why isn't she acting?
There was part of me was either thinking, is she not acting or is she involved?
Right.
And is she involved in this? And which one was right?
She was involved.
Well, that's the thing because basically...
She was the ringleader.
Well, Roger has a gun and is like pretending that he's going to shoot Sam. Sam, the girl, doesn't look scared at all, which is when Tim and I were like, how are you not scared when a gun is to your head? Andy is like, please don't shoot her. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go. And then you find out Sam reveals, oh, yeah, she's actually involved with Roger. I don't know if
she
romantically, but
well,
just.
Well, it was weird because like she was also romantically involved with Andy because they went out into the woods.
But just a fake. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
but just
they went
a
to
fake.
The woods. But I mean, still, that's a lot of the lengths that these two went to mess with Andy's life is crazy.
Well, you find out that just like Tim said, that Sam, the girl, has actually been the ringleader this whole time. She's working with Roger. She arranged a call and have him do all the stalking. And they do this just because they like get off on this. Like, was there any motive?
They like to wreck people's lives.
They like to wreck
people's because they're not good people.
Well, or they said, oh, well, because Andy admits he had cheated on his first relationship.
That's right. That was another big twist.
But I don't even think they're just targeting bad people. I think they just like ruining people's lives.
I agree.
But here's the thing. You know, Andy this whole time has been kind of a nice guy, a victim of these two, the girl and Roger. And Sam just stabs him in the throat. He's dead.
Oh, no.
Wait.
She takes the barrette out of her hair and jabs him in the eyeballs.
You're right. Sorry, I'm getting mixed up.
It's so disgusting.
Oh, but you know the funniest part about that? She stabs him twice perfectly in both eyes. I mean, that's some great aim.
I actually took the wind out of my sails.
And he's dead. And right away, you're like, oh, wow. And he's dead. But, oh, you know what? It's because she then stabs Roger in the neck. That's what I got mixed up.
No, but she, No, well, it takes a little more time. She makes Roger go all the way out to and dig a hole, like dig a grave. So then she comes up to Roger when he's all done digging the hole because, you know, Sam can't do the work.
Of course.
Then she stabs him. The blood goes everywhere.
Yes, that's what I messed up. She stabs in the neck and the blood is like, it's almost like one of those like ridiculous comedic deaths because the blood is like squirting
and
everywhere.
Let me just say, at this point, I thought the whole movie was Sam, the girl, being the ringleader of this. I kind of liked it when it was just Roger being crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Here's the thing. And then you see that Sam now goes to like a different town. She's wearing a wig and she starts...
A blonde wig.
She's wearing a blonde wig and she meets up with a girl and starts to have the same conversation that she had with Andy at the beginning. So obviously this is her next victim.
And then she drives off into the sunlight with Andy's dog.
She stole Andy's dog. At least Andy's dog didn't get killed.
That's
I was worried
true.
That he got
Sam
killed.
At least Sam is not a heartless bitch.
Well, except for the fact that she just killed two people.
True,
but
she
no,
didn't
no.
kill a dog.
She didn't get. You're right. People who kill dogs are awful.
They're the worst.
They are the worst. You know. So all in all, here's the thing. I think I agree with you on what you are. What I'm thinking you're going to say is that the movie, it started off like in a way where I felt like it had potential because the guy was so creepy, and even though it was crazy, like I think this is everyone's worst nightmare, and that someone's going to be stalking you and just like going crazy on you, and I'm sure a lot of people have dealt with stalker types. The twist with the girl being the mastermind, I will say, was unique, made it different, but I didn't buy it.
Me too, because like it was a little too wrapped up in a bow.
Did you feel like it was a twist for the sake of having a twist?
Yes, because I mean, like, again, right when we started watching it and talking about the title, it's been done before. So I guess
the idea of a stalker.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that this one was a little more high tech because they got into his messages and videos were involved and everything like that. And I will say, just the fact that he had a video out there touching himself, that was the scariest part.
You're like, oh my God, people touching themselves, sinful.
Sin.
You know, I just feel like when they were writing this, they were like, we'll make a stalker movie, but we'll have this big twist. But I guess I just didn't buy it. Like, I didn't believe that this girl just wanted to ruin people's lives for the sake of ruining people's lives.
Fun.
And
it's I do
she,
it.
She took on... we forgot. There was one scene where randomly in the middle, Roger just goes and kills a couple for no reason.
Oh, yeah.
And it had no place, but you found out.
It was explained very briefly. Yeah. Sam was like, she goes, I know you like to kill people.
And she never had let him kill before. And so, like, to satisfy his urges, he just went out and killed a random couple.
Yeah, I was like, who's this random couple that we're suddenly supposed to care about?
It's just weird because, like, why is Roger letting Sam call the shots? Well, I don't even know. Again, it was a little bit of a stretch. I thought it was okay up until that point. Like, it was... Remember how both Tim and I feel like we're uncomfortable for most of the movie because...
And it takes place in L.A. They film it around L.A., so it just seems a little more...
Real?
It just seems real.
Well, it just felt like something that it could happen to someone. If someone is a little too obsessed with them, whether it's a crush or just a friendship thing, it could happen. But the twist just made me feel like I just didn't buy it.
I agree. Like, I feel like they had to like one-up themselves. Like, a stalker's been done, so we're going to have twist, 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 twist.
And I don't think, again, I wouldn't say this movie was bad. It was not bad. I enjoyed it. I just didn't buy the twist. So I kind of am like somewhere on the fence about this movie.
Yeah.
Apparently,
it has something going for it.
A jerk-off scene.
Right. Well... I enjoyed it. I'm kidding. I totally did.
You don't, by
disgusting.
The way, listeners, you don't see anything in the jerk-off scene.
And that's the flaw of this film.
There it is, the flaw. No, it was interesting. It's different. Apparently, it's getting some good reviews.
Yeah,
I think it's doing pretty well on Rotten Tomatoes, but that also can fade really quickly. The more people that watch and review it, the more it can go down.
Right,
you know
now
what
it's
I mean?
At 92% at the tomato meter.
I mean, 92%, it could be of like 3 reviews. You know, like
it's
it could
of
be.
12 reviews.
Okay, well, I was close. So anyway, but so that was our first movie. Now, moving on to our second movie, which was... Bonkers.
What a title. What a
it's
title.
It's called Babysitter Must Die. Now, let me just tell you about... I always like to talk about the trailer first because it's like what's appealing to us. And when we were watching the trailer, it kind of takes a twist on a babysitter... a home invasion type of plot where there's a babysitter, because in this one, the family actually comes home and then the invaders come in and they don't know the babysitter's there and the babysitter's trying to like save them. That's what the trailer said. Trailer didn't mention anything about weird cult devil worshippers. Not at all.
You know what? They start off the film with this. No, well, first off, it starts, the first 5 minutes of this movie are completely bonkers because it's this long cult speech, which makes
no sense.
Like,
what were they called? The what?
Divide?
The Divide.
And I literally don't even know if that's true.
No, you're right. And like Tim said, it's just not gibberish, but cult speak about devils and new world coming and blah, blah, blah. Then
there is this ridiculously long scene where the mother of the babysitter and her are driving. And I think you said it was stock footage. And it's for like...
It's dubbed the whole time.
The whole thing is just the mother like, maybe... Like, it's not called
You
Girl
don't
Scouts.
See
What's
the mother or the babysitter. You just see shots of a car driving through a very woodsy road. And I was joking with Tim like, oh, wow, I guess they didn't hire actresses for this. But I thought eventually they would show him. No,
you never see
inside the car. It was dubbed audio. On top of, I thought, stock video of a car driving through the woods to a house. And I was like, wow.
And so the mom's basically, like, I want to say, not shaming her, but she's basically saying to her daughter, like, you need to grow up. You can't be a mustard seed.
So I think mustard seed is like Girl Scout. So basically, here's the thing. The babysitter's like college age, and she's a little too attached to, apparently she was in, they call them the mustard seeds her whole life, and now she's a counselor. It's like either a camp or a Girl Scout type thing where you gain badges, you learn skills.
Oh, so
she's kind of dorky.
The first time they show like something flash across the screen of like her like, one of her skills.
So what happens is it starts with the babysitter in the house and she's playing hide and seek. After the car ride, she's playing hide and seek.
Oh, even the hide and seek dragged.
Yeah, she's playing hide and seek with the girl she's babysitting. And every time the babysitter does something skillful, like this big graphic comes up on screen and it's like the name of a badge that I guess she earned as a mustard seed. So it's like, you know, not martial arts, what I was going to say, like, you know, jumping or climbing or something, which is a weird, it almost makes it feel like a video game. That's right. To explain for someone who doesn't know.
It was a very video game-esque situation.
But as Tim was saying, this hide and seek game lasts way too long. She finally finds the girl and they said they're waiting for pizza. And then the family gets home like way early. And the babysitter's like, why are you home so early?
So apparently the dad is a famous music producer.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So he's huge. And the house actually has records all around the house. So they're like,
big
they're
house,
full of money.
Big house in the middle of nowhere. And the family consists of, there's a dad, a mom, and there's a character that I thought was like an older brother to the girl, but apparently is just a friend and his girlfriend who's an Instagram influencer.
And that Instagram influencer was friends with the babysitter back in, and then she said high school, but she always corrects her and said elementary.
Well, apparently,
jokes.
The influencer girl is like, you know, too cool for the babysitter and she thinks the babysitter's just a nerd or whatever. Anyway. The babysitter then decides, you know, I'm going to keep playing. And now we're wondering, why isn't the babysitter going home? The family's home, so go home. No, the babysitter's going to play another game of hide-and-seek with Sophia.
Some of that pizza.
She wanted the pizza, yeah. So she goes to hide, and while she's hiding, the family gets a knock on the door.
Oh, my God.
You think it's a pizza. No, it's three intruders that proceed to beat the shit out of the father,
mm-hmm.
beat the shit out of the mother.
Then they whip out a gun.
And they shoot the, which who we thought was the older brother, but just a friend, and the influencer girlfriend.
Which, I mean, I did want to laugh at that scene, but I did laugh only because it was just so...
So abrupt?
It was so abrupt, like, oh, okay, there's half the cast.
But let's just describe the three intruders, because they're not just... So the leader is a woman with an eye patch with something written on it.
And she says every line like this.
Her acting is a level 12 at all times. It's like soap opera acting, but
I enjoy
auditioning for a soap opera,
yeah,
you know?
Not getting the role. And saying thank you.
The leader, she is talking over enunciating stuff. Then there's the huge giant guy. And even after watching, I still don't understand. He couldn't speak unless she held some device up to his neck.
Yeah,
I don't know what that meant.
Never explained.
Then there's a guy who's another intruder. He's just a guy. So there's the three of them. And they tell the reason they kill the friend and the influencer girlfriend is they say, you're not needed. You're not needed for what we have planned. They tie up the dad, the mom, and the little girl, and they say they have a plan.
Before they tie up the mom, they they bash her head against the table because she wants to bite the big guy's hand.
She bit his hand. He didn't like it.
So, which was so ridiculous. So their plan was to take to find this box inside the house.
And at this point, you don't know what's going on. You just know that they're jibber-jabbering about some new world coming, end of days. The woman leader tells the daughter she's the devil. None of it is making sense.
But you know what? Kids are the devil.
No. She tells
I'm letting you know.
Oh, the kid is the devil.
Yeah, kids are devils.
As everyone knows who's listening to this podcast, Tim loves kids in horror movies.
First of all, I don't want kids in my horror films ever.
Then there's no parents, I guess. How are you going to have a babysitter?
That's true.
You're right. What would happen on Halloween? Who would Lori be babysitting?
Well, you know, during the pandemic on my soap, The Bold and the Beautiful, they kept talking about the children, but they never showed them.
Okay, we could do that. Yeah. It's like the babysitter's there and she's just hanging out. She's like, I don't know where the kids are. They're somewhere.
Somewhere.
Well, so this whole time the babysitter is hiding out of view. She sneaks around. She gets upstairs. She's trying to look for a cell phone. Of course, the one she finds is dead because in every horror movies, you know, they have the mom, dad, and little girl tied up. The three invaders are just, again, they're talking about looking for a box. They're looking for, they have some plan to like start a new world. I have no idea what they're talking about.
I didn't even care.
I didn't. I just wanted to see the babysitter take revenge and kick ass. Like, and it took a while.
It did. It really, really did. Because here is, we have this like Girl Scout mustard seed girl. We think she's going to like give all these people their comeuppance, but it takes forever. I'll get to that, but when there actually is one showdown with one of the guys, it's so lukewarm.
So, yes, like, to get to that point, though, like, they're talking about there's something in their basement where some opening to stuff. By this point, I was looking at Tim and saying, why?
You're gorgeous.
I don't need to say that. You know it.
Thank you.
No, I said to Tim, I was like, you know, I would have taken this so much more seriously if they were just intruders trying to rob this rich
people. Me too.
People.
I wanted it almost to be, like, not that I wanted it this dark, but remember, what was that movie, Last House on the Left?
Yeah.
They just, like, going to Monica Potter's house?
Well, because it was, they just needed help, but they had just raped and almost murdered the daughter. And
right.
That, that
again,
at least made
not
sense.
Not to be so dark, but I mean, like, I just want, like, burglars.
How
like,
about simplicity?
Simplicity
well,
is what I'm trying
because
to say.
You lose me when you have, I'm not saying all cults lose me, but when they're overacting people talking about crazy stuff,
like,
you lose me.
There was a supernatural element to the movie, and I did not want it.
It didn't make sense. The babysitter, like Tim said, when she finally has a showdown with one of the intruders and she gets a baseball bat, it takes so long. The intruder is taunting, saying, you're not going to use her. You're too scared. You're this. And for a while, you actually believe
it. I almost wanted it to be like a Quentin Tarantino scene where she just like hits him 20 times with the baseball bat.
No, she finally drops the bat and then pulls out all these martial arts moves and like a cool graphic that has a mustard seed badge that says martial arts comes up. And by that point, you're like, is this supposed to be like comedic?
And here's another thing. I don't even know if I feel comfortable talking about this, but
your sex life.
My sex life is weird. No, the actual babysitter probably looks 35 years old.
You don't feel comfortable saying
that? I didn't feel comfortable. Like, I'm not.
She
I'm not,
does look a
I'm
lot
not
older
age
than she
shaming.
Is.
I'm just saying, like, when
there's
I think
nothing
of
the, wrong with looking 35. If you're playing a young babysitter,
right, right.
You may not want to look
I mean,
35.
Was she supposed to be young? Because I think the whole
she was
joke
a college
movie,
age. Remember, she talked about
okay,
she was college
okay.
age. I have a feeling. I didn't think she looked that old. I did think she
I'm
looked
saying,
older
I'm
than
just
college
saying, like,
age.
I can say that because I'm old, but
there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying she looked older than a babysitter age, but they. The whole thing was just bizarre. But, oh, real quick, one scene we forgot about, which was the most out there scene, was a pizza delivery man.
Ooh.
Finally does show up. He is the most annoying pizza delivery man on earth. You want the intruders to kill him.
Yeah, I was like, no, this is going to be a good kill.
He forces his way in. He's obnoxious. They let him leave, but he still hangs around. And then they finally, I don't even want to go into the details, but they finally kill him. Let's just
yeah,
say that.
I was, and you know what? It wasn't even satisfying.
After a chase where he's like laughing and giving one-liners. And at that point, I was like, did this just switch from serious to like comedic?
Well, I know that it's such a hard tone to make that. The only films that I think can do that well is maybe Scream and Friday 13th Part 6, Jason Lives. It's a comedic balance. Because not all
you,
films
yeah,
can
you
do.
You have to know that if you do, if you pour on too much of the comedy, you don't take anything seriously and it's not going to be scary. If you don't have enough comedy and just a random joke, it's going to be really out of place.
Only
this
a couple
one just,
directors can pull off like laughing right. in one scene and then being scared in the next.
And also don't, for the first, I'd say, half of this movie, it was framed as being serious. And then suddenly the pizza delivery man is like a comedian and he's like dying with one-liners. It
Not
was weird.
Not necessary because we were already laughing at the lead bad girl.
The lead bad girl's act.
She was
yeah.
like, and this is what you're gonna do, little mouse.
Well, getting back to
little
the, so,
mouse.
Yeah, she keeps calling the babysitter little mouse, and I'm just like, oh my god, just kill her already. So the babysitter finally is able to kill the first intruder. She then actually the intruder, the leader, the female, she ends up killing the big brute intruder because she thinks he's shooting at her when really he was shooting at the babysitter.
Well, he also had like a wine bottle smashed in his face. So
he couldn't see well, right. But still it was just like, really, you just shoot your partner just because of, so anyway, it's
he
down
is a
to,
total little mouse.
He, oh my God. It's down to the overacting, leader, one-eyed leader woman. And the babysitter, and she's taunting her, and she's, like, pulling the little girl to say, like, hey, I'm going to kill this little girl if you don't come out, or blah, 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 blah. Anyway, it gets to, and they, you know, and the woman, the intruder, keeps talking about the ritual. They need a mom, a dad, and a baby, and it's going to start the new world, and it's coming, and all this bullshit nobody cares about.
Before that, because we still don't even care about it, but the little girl was staring into the hole that they dug in their basement.
Oh, where the new world was going to start, where the ritual was happening,
yeah. The little girl was getting possessed by the new world.
Something, I don't know if it was spirits. At first I was like, is it aliens? Is it demons? Is it like a dark world? Is it hell? Who fucking knows? Like,
and
I mean,
you know what else, Matt? Who? I can't say fucking, but who fucking cares?
You know what the best is? Who fucking knows? Who fucking cares? No, but here's the thing. So we get to the final conflict, and the babysitter is able to, she jumps on the female intruder and has like two darts, and she says, I am going to puncture your carotid arteries, which will give you 10 seconds to live. Or, you know, you have to let the girl go or something.
Because she had, like, a knife to the little girl.
Yeah. And the intruder doesn't let the girl go, so the babysitter does puncture her arteries. And then for those 10 seconds, the intruder is still alive, and she's going to get the knife, and she's about to stab the kid, and then she stabs down. You think, oh, my God, she stabbed the kid. No, the babysitter put her hands under the knife and caught the knife through her hands.
Which was so ridiculous.
And the 10 seconds are gone because since the intruder's arteries were cut, she had 10 seconds to live until she lost enough blood that she'd conk out.
That was clever.
It was interesting, and it was a cool move. Like, I will say that. The babysitter knows how to murder.
Right. Like, yeah, you know what? I like that there was a babysitter. I like the home invasion part. I do not like the cult and alien supernatural part.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the ending. So the babysitter's there, and she, you know, is helping the little girl, and as she is walking down the stairs, you see the little girl look at the camera, and she's obviously possessed, which whatever the cult was, and says, what did she say? Like the what is it called?
She goes, let's go to the mall.
No, she does not say it. No, what is it called? The cult called again? The
divide or something?
The divide. She says, like, we're coming from the, or something. She's possessed,
something,
and that's it.
So not memorable. We don't even know.
Not memorable, but I guess they're trying. It's like their one little thing. Like, the little girl is now possessed with whichever was possessing the intruders. And then it ends. But anyway. Sorry, go on. You were giving your summary of
it. No,
well,
I don't even remember.
You said you liked it, and I think I agree, because here's the thing. The trailer did not mention any of this cult stuff.
I was just saying, like, the trailer makes it look 1,000 times better than what we got.
And granted, I know that's what trailers are supposed
to do. I know.
But I will say I felt a little duped because I thought this was just home invasion, babysitter takes revenge. I did not know there was some crazy cult aspect to it.
I mean, and you know what? They probably, this kind of story has been done before. So I'm sure the screener was like, hey, why don't we add this element to it?
But it took me so far out of it. Like, here's the thing. This is how I think the movie could have worked. Write it differently. No. This is how I think the movie could have worked. Have the people that invaded the house looking just to either kidnap the music producer or to steal from them.
And you know, if you want to see a home invasion movie done right and done scary and done is Mother's. I hate to give Mother's Day 2010 or 12.
Yeah, 10. Yeah.
Yeah, 2010. Now that is a movie that plays it
seriously.
Yeah.
And if you'd like to hear us discussing Mother's Day, become a patron because we talked about the original Mother's Day and the new one. But anyway.
And I didn't set that up to
I know, that was a good setup. But I was going to say Strangers. That is most terrifying
Strangers
home invasion
is
movie.
Probably the best.
And so what I was going to say was that, number one, I would have had the intruders just robbing them, cut out all the crazy cult alien whatever shit. And number two, I would have played it serious the whole time. Cut out the dumb jokes. Like, if you can't strike that balance, like you said, between comedy and horror, don't do it all. Play it straight. Have the babysitter
and
take revenge.
And by play it straight, you mean no gay people.
No gay people. God forbid have a gay person in this. Ugh, rough. You know, that's another thing. Zero diversity. They were all white. They were all straight.
Yeah, well, they were aliens.
Oh, sorry. The cult. That's diverse. Yeah, yeah. No.
Oh, and wait, one last thing. They all had like a little cross on, like, they had a patch over their ear. One had a patch over their eye. What was all about?
I don't know. And what was like the weird when the brute guy was like had flashes of, I guess, what the plan was? It was like almost like a comic strip.
Like, she's like, walk around the house, feel where the box is.
Oh, God. It was just so cheesy. I've got to say, I cannot recommend this movie. Like, I can't. I couldn't say go out and rent it. I don't even think I would say if it were free to watch it. I'm so sorry, people who worked on this movie, but it just like. I thought the babysitter's performance was okay.
Yeah,
like, I didn't mind her.
I
didn't love her. I just didn't mind her. I think everyone else annoyed me.
Well, I thought the dad was cute.
But his performance? His performance was okay.
Yeah, I mean, his fingers were broken and he had little to no reaction, but what are you going to do?
I mean, it just was, and also it took place during Christmas, which was such a random element.
Yeah,
literally
no one even
nothing.
Said Merry Christmas.
Nobody said there was no snow out, there was not, like, they just like threw in a Christmas tree and Christmas lights and suddenly it's like Christmas.
Well, the pizza man was wearing a Santa hat.
I know. Oh, so now it's a holiday film.
Yeah. I think it should be shown on Hallmark.
I don't, 100%. Have the intruder fall in love with the babysitter. See, now that is a movie I would watch. No, it just, again, the trailer is the movie I wanted to see.
Right, so whoever cut the trailer, bravo.
Great. The movie we watched, I did not
know what we got. I don't know what we got.
The babysitter must not make this movie.
Ooh, man.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't. And to be honest, like, I'd recommend Stalker over this one.
Same here.
Yeah. I would say that Stalker, again, even though I didn't buy the twist, like, it wasn't bad.
No,
babysitter
Stalker
was,
has enough going on that it's a diverse, everyone in it is very diverse. Not, I mean, you know, it's a nice change. And it has some things I haven't seen before. So
yeah, it's different and it strikes a chord because it's that creepy aspect.
It could all happen.
Do you know another thing the babysitter Must Die was lacking? It wasn't scary at all.
No.
There was no, like, I guess, and I was talking to you about this before, when a stranger calls, I mean, oh my God, like the opening scene, talk about a babysitter and a scene that is terrifying, just her being alone, the quietness.
And the strangers with Liv Tyler.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm talking just babysitter movies, like a movie with a babysitter is just terrifying where they just like set the tone well. This was, you know, again, the whole family's home, they're all happy, suddenly there's intruders talking about a cult, like there was nothing that was, there was no terror, there was no scares.
I think they were going for like a more Kill Bill, like.
Yes, yeah,
like,
totally
look what we're
that.
Doing with the babysitter. She's a badass.
Totally
but
saw that.
I didn't even think she was.
And it took, like you
badass.
Said, it took so long. Maybe you got 15 minutes of her being a badass. Like,
yeah. And you know what? I need an hour and a half of
you want
badass.
I want the babysitter must be a badass.
Bitch.
Anyway, so I guess that sums it up for us for these two slightly obscure movies, but we'll be back with more mainstream films as they come out in the movie theaters. And
we're
going to
do Stella with Bette Midler.
are we going back in time to
1980? Yes, we are.
Yes, no, we're going to be doing, there's still a lot more cool new horror movies coming out in theaters, but we also like to find some of these more like obscure independent horror films because some of them turn out to be really good and some of them
poop.
Boom. Yes. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening.
Good night. Goodbye. Okay. Afternoon.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Happy Horror Time. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and many other platforms.
If you haven't already, please like and follow our Happy Horror Time page on Facebook. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Happy Horror Time to see all our glorious posts.
If you want to contact us, send us an email at happyhorrortime@gmail.com. Feel free to give us movie recommendations, interview suggestions, or just tell us how wrong we were about something.
We want to give a special thank you to our patrons for their support. If you'd like to be a patron, please visit patreon.com/happyhorrortime to sign up. Patrons get access to our monthly bonus episodes and exclusive content. We've actually built a pretty good sized library of bonus content by now, and there's much more to come.
I'm Tim Murdoch.
And I'm Matt Emmert. And we hope you've had a happy horror time.